This is the IPSC-SDA Media Network.
Good morning, saints. What a beautiful Sabbath morning. Yes, a week has gone by since we got the news about the election. Hopefully things will settle down and we'll get back to life as normal. We know that the pandemic is raging throughout this country and around the world. Let's continue to pray for our brothers and sisters. Remember those who have passed on. Remember those who are having challenges. We thank God for His goodness in spite of all this. And as usual, I thank you for being here with us today. I know you have choices. You could worship anywhere you please today just by a click of the mouse. And so today, I am indeed not taking it for granted that you have decided that you wanted to fellowship with us today. May God bless us as we worship Him. Last week, we began a three-part series where the subject was thorns and lilies. And we looked at three things. Three points were made. A precious comparison. And there, this woman, this bride, was compared to flowers. And we are told, we're reminded that flowers come with beauty and fragrance. Then there was a pointed contrast, lilies and thorns. And God wants us to be lilies. Thorns hurt. They do things to us. They cause us to bleed. And then our third point was a priceless comfort. Oh, it is comforting to know that Jesus, who is referred to as the lily of the valley, turns around in Song of Solomon's and gives this title to His beloved. We are His beloved, and He wants us to be like Him. It is very comforting that God considers us like Himself. Next Sabbath, we'll be looking at the third and final part of this series, where the subject will be, He's very much central and so much more. Let me say that again. He is very much central and so much more. And today, we're looking at the subject, oh, how I love Him so. Father in heaven, we pray that you may come now on this Sabbath morning and be with us as we consider this subject. Oh, how I love Him so. We thank you for being with us. And may we indeed worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, let the saints all say, Amen. In the passage that was read by our Deacon Kelly, so well done, that passage gave us a glimpse of inside of the heart of the bride. We are given the opportunity to see just how much she loves her husband. So today, Song of Solomon's, we'll be looking at chapter 5, and I want you to turn to Song of Songs, also known as Song of Solomon's, and hold it there at chapter 5. And this is what she says. I want you to read with me, actually. I slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless one. My head is drenched with dew, my hair with the dampness of the night. Here we find the bride. The Bible says that she was sleeping. She said, I slept, but my heart was awake. Well, what does this mean? And it brings me to the first of three points I will make today. We find in chapter 5 of Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, that the bride is dozing, D-O-Z-I-N-G. When we open this chapter, we find the bride asleep and the bridegroom outside her chamber trying to gain access. She is dozing. You remember in chapter 2 that they were talking with each other and they were courting and saying wonderful things, lovely things about each other. And here in chapter 5, the wedding has taken place and somehow she is asleep. Just hold a minute right there. I wonder if for us, as is recording in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 4, that sometimes we fall asleep on Jesus. John the Revelator says that sometimes we behave as if we have forgotten our first love. What was it like when we first fell in love with Christ? That's the question. I want you to stop and think of your conversion experience. Stop and think as to how sweet it was with Jesus. And then ask yourself this private question: how is it with me today? Am I sleeping? Am I dozing on Jesus? How is it with me today? Sometimes we can be distracted by stuff. We can be distracted by the cares of the world. And the early days when we fell in love and we decided to get hooked up with Jesus, so many years and months have passed, and now we can fall asleep while he is outside the door knocking. It says that the groom is outside knocking, but this beautiful bride is asleep. I wonder how it is with us. Is Jesus knocking on your heart's door and you're asleep? Is it possible that your first love is not there anymore? And then we go to verse 3. And as the bridegroom knocks, here is what she tells him. I have taken off my robe. Must I put it on again? I have washed my feet. Must I soil them again? Interesting. He is knocking, and she is saying, I've already prepared for bed. You're knocking. Should I dirty my feet to come to the door? How many of us have experienced something similar in our marriages? Something you would have done without hesitation when you first got married now seems like pure drudgery. The excitement is gone, and that which seemed easy and she was willing to do, she now says to the one knocking, do you really want me to get up? I've already taken off my robe. Do you want me to put it on again to come to the door? Do you want me to dirty my feet? I wonder sometimes when we are dozing on Jesus and he comes knocking to us, is our response a similar one? Jesus, do you really want me to do X, Y, and Z? And the Bible says in verse 4 of Song of Solomon, chapter 5, she says, my beloved thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him. Hold a minute right there. I want you to get the picture. She is in the chamber. The bridegroom is outside. And the bridegroom so desperately wants to get in that he puts his hand through the lock on the door, and he tries to open the door. And it says that possibly that he was there trying for a while, and she did not get up. Verse 5 says, I rose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh. My fingers with flowing myrrh on the handles of the boat. Oh, how I love him so. Sometimes when Christ comes knocking and we tell him it's too much trouble for us to get ready for him, and he keeps knocking, maybe our heart begins to pound again. And now she goes to the door. Remember now, she was dozing. She goes to the door. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had left. He was gone. My heart sank at his departure. That has to be a sinking feeling. That you go looking for someone you love who was trying to get in, but because of your delay, your hesitancy, because it was too much trouble for you to get up and open the door, he left. And her heart sank at his departure. While we are here in this allegory, in this book, let me remind you that Jesus continues to knock. He says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, if any woman shall open, I will come in and I will dine with him. I looked for him, but did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer. And so now she ventures out. He's gone. She's looking for him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. And you know what? They beat me. They bruised me. They took away my cloak. Those watchmen on the walls, daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, if you find my beloved, what will you tell him? Tell him, I am faint with love. Tell him that I miss him so much. Tell him that I would love to see him. The bride is dozing when we find her. Now the bride is desiring. She says, I am faint with love. She goes from dozing to desiring. I want to stop for a moment and ask you, how is it with you and your desire for Christ? Is your desire strong enough that you will go out looking for him? Is your desire strong enough that even when the pandemic is over, you will keep coming to church? Are you desiring God? And you don't have to wait until the pandemic is over. Right in the chambers of your home. Listen to me, saints. Here is a serious question. How has it been with your walk with Christ since this pandemic began? Are you reading more? Are you singing more? Are you studying less? How has it been? What has your desire been like to be with Christ since this pandemic began? When she finally rises from her bed and goes to the door, she indeed finds that her beloved had already gone. Then she remembers how it felt when she did hear his voice. It was so intense that it caused her soul to faint within her. Now he is gone. I am thankful that this story does not end with her beloved just being gone. I am thankful that when we find ourselves in a place where we should not be, that God does not leave us. Even when David had messed up, he cried unto God. He said, "Take not your spirit from me." She has been reawakened to the need to be with him. Someone once said, "You never miss the water until the well runs dry." While he is near, we need to seek him. We don't need to wait until it's too late. She now has a renewed desire. She is now charged with energy. She wants her husband. Now, just as he had desired to be with her, she is filled with the desire to be with him. No, this is not Teddy Pendergrass's 50-50 love. God loves us 100% even when we are not returning his love. But it is something wonderful. As Teddy Pendergrass said, it's so good to love someone and to someone love you back. How many people today are loving but not getting the love in return? Now, just as he had desired her, she is now filled with the desire for him. As she begins her search, notice what she says, what she's seeking. I sought him. I called him. She makes no reference to his wealth. Stop. Hold it right there. She is seeking her beloved. Although he is the richest man in the land, she makes no reference to his position, though there is none more exalted than he. She makes no reference to his power, though there is none more powerful than he. No, she is utterly consumed by him. She desires him and nothing more. So it should be with the child of God who rediscovers how glorious Jesus is. They aren't thrilled by his power. They aren't thrilled by his possessions. They aren't thrilled by his position. They are thrilled just to be in his presence. In other words, if we find ourselves far from God and we are looking for him, we are seeking him. Let us not seek him because of his power. Let us not seek him because of his possession. Let us not seek him because of his position, but let us seek him because of his presence. Oh, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, because I want to walk and talk with my Jesus. When you and I reach a place where we are more interested in being with the Lord than in getting something from the Lord, now we know that we are growing in the Lord. Sometimes we are seeking God not for the right reason. When we come to the place where he fills our thoughts, then we have come to the place where he is number one in our lives. What are you seeking from the Lord this morning? Is it more stuff? Do you need a better stock kitchen? What is it you're seeking from the Lord? Are you in trouble? Do you need someone to be with you in the fiery furnace? What are you seeking from God? Do you need a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Do you need something big from God today? Then consume and digest the word. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you." Notice that when this bride went looking for her beloved, she was beaten on the streets. She was humiliated, but nothing deterred her from finding her beloved. We should be the same. Sometimes folk will want to do us stuff because we want to walk the way of God. She was not concerned about being humiliated. She was only concerned about finding her beloved. How is it with you today? Are you being thwarted by the obstacles to Jesus? Or are you like this bride, saying, "You can do me what you want. You can call me what you want. I'm going to be with my beloved." The bride dozing, the bride desiring. And now let me go to the third and final point of our message today. Oh, how I love him so. Song of Songs, chapter 5 and verse 9. Here she encounters some women, the daughters of Jerusalem. "What's so great about your lover, fair lady?" they ask her. "What's so special about him that you beg for help in finding him?" Wait a minute. Stop there. If someone were to ask you, "Why do you go to church? Why do you return a faithful tithe and a freewill offering?" If someone were to ask you, "Why are you so looking for Christ?" what will you say? Well, she was asked this question: "What's so great about your beloved?" And the daughters of Jerusalem is trying to say to her, "Can you give a reason? Can you tell us why you like this guy?" She is challenged to tell them why she loves him so much. When you really fall in love with Jesus, there will always be those around you who will not understand your devotion to him. They will question things about you, and she is ready to give an answer. Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 10. Some selected verses through 16. Here's what she says: "My dear lover glows with health, red blooding." I'm reading from the Message translation. "Radiant. He's one in a million. There's no one quite like him. My golden one, pure and untarnished, with raven black curls tumbling across his shoulders." She describes him and she calls him radiant. She says he is one in a million. If someone asks you about the God you are looking for, can you describe him as one in a million? Or would you say he is one in a billion or trillion or quadrillion? There is no other like him. She describes him. Watch this now. She describes him because she knows him intimately. She is not just giving empty words. She has been with him. We cannot begin to describe our relationship with God if we've not been with him. She's been with him. And she says, let me tell you, there is no one else like him. She calls him her golden one, pure and untarnished, with raven black curls. She knows what he's like. This bride was found dozing. She was found asleep. She had been courted, she got married, and somehow along the way, she got careless with her relationship and she fell asleep while he's trying to knock to get in. Sometimes it's like that with us. We doze on Jesus while he's knocking. But he knocks, and as he knocks, he awakens her desire. And she goes looking for him. And in the process, she's accosted by the watchman and she's beaten. She's humiliated, but she has her eyes upon the prize. My question for us this morning, do you have your eyes upon the prize, Jesus Christ? This is a love story. And like I told you last week, while the book Song of Songs and the book Esther do not have or mention the name of God, he is very much in there and central to the book. In this book, the bride gets reunited with her husband. Now she wants to be with him all her life. This is a wonderful relationship. She's able to describe him in detail. Question, can you describe Jesus? To do so, you have to spend time with him. You can't describe this Jesus if you don't spend time with him. So this morning, as I conclude this message, I ask you, is Jesus knocking? Can you hear him? Is Jesus calling? Is he on the handle of the door of your heart trying to come in? Or are you so fast asleep because things have gotten cold? When you wake up, can you wake up with the desire of this bride? Jesus wants you to desire him. And last but not least, he wants you to describe him. Can you describe Jesus? You can only describe Jesus if you spend time with him. Next week, we will conclude the third part in the series when we look at the subject, he is very much central and so much more. Maybe Jesus is a part of your life, but maybe he is not central. Next week, we will conclude by looking in depth as to just where Jesus is in your life. But for today, I'm asking you not to doze on Jesus. I'm asking you to wake up and desire him. I'm asking you to spend time with him so that you can describe him. We ought to be able to give a reason for our faith. May God help us today. May we say like this bride, oh, how I love him so. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful love story between a groom and his bride. Remind us that the church is the bride and Jesus is the bridegroom. He's coming again. We need to desire to see him. This is the time. When we say to the Word, we can describe our groom in detail because we spend time with Him. May God keep us and bless us. May we not fall asleep. May we, with eyes wide open, wait for our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. See you next Sabbath. May God bless you.